Your mentor, Dr. Homestead, walks into the meeting room about 15 minutes late again. He's a brilliant and sarcastic senior monster care specialist who walks with a cane and a prosthetic leg, but has never told any of you the story about how he got it. You've had enough meetings with him by now to know that he's going to remain silent for a few minutes before finally addressing you, not completely without affection, as the Fail Team. Good morning. There's a monster treatment conference at a ski resort in northern Aldamora. A group of senior monster care specialists will be gathering to compare notes on the false gold infections, see if we can get any more information on what's causing it and how it spreads to otherwise peaceful monsters. Sources up there also say that a Balvar, you know, the big critters, the long legs, the antlers, usually guide people to town in a snowstorm. They've been attacking people in broad daylight. Some people even say they've seen them trying to knock down snowdrifts and cause an avalanche. So that's where I'm going to be. Fail Team, I'm sending you to investigate a series of earthquakes in the coastal fishing town of Whalecrest. No confirmation yet that they are monster-related, but if it turns out they are, I want someone with at least a passing amount of medical knowledge there to help. I'll check on you in a few days. He slides a package with a comm stone in an ornate brass case and some train tickets across the desk. Welcome to The Roll Less Taken. You may be noticing that that's a different name at the beginning. This is the Homestead Arc, and I am joined by some voices you may not recognize if you listen to only my show. Who wants to introduce themselves?
Nobody!
I think Jory is first alphabetically.
Oh,
yeah,
weird.
Let's do that.
That's not usually true. Hi, I'm Jory. I usually am a player with many realms. We, like this podcast, we also do a whole bunch of different systems and genres. We're currently playing, we are playing Urban Shadows and have been for months, so I should not forget that. So we're currently playing Urban Shadows in a campaign we're calling Lakeshore. I'm really excited for this game.
I'll go next, but I just wanted to point out that Derek is definitely first alphabetically.
I was just going on the list on the sidebar in the Discord call.
Oh, gotcha. I completely was just believed you.
Yeah. I was just thinking about it, like, wait. Hi. I'm Susanna. I am from the Thornvale podcast. We are in actual play Monster of the Week show. It is very, very fun. It is about a group of monster hunters as they struggle to protect a small town on an island off the coast of Florida. We also play a bunch of one-shots like this. We have a show called One-Shot Mondays where we play different one-shots. So I enjoy them a lot, which is why I'm here hanging out with you guys.
Awesome. Glad to have you. And how about you, Derek?
Hi, I'm Derek. I am the host, producer, and wrangler of Cats for Rolling Misadventures. We are a tabletop podcast that grabs a whole bunch of other podcasters that have their own shows, forces them to play a tabletop RPG, usually Fiasco, although we have played some other one-shots as well. And then I take those sessions and add sound design, backing scores, and turn them into 1 to 2 episode improv audio dramas. And you can find all of that at rollingmisadventures.com.
All right. We are going to be playing a game that is coming out on Kickstarter. It's probably already out by the time this is going up, depending on how fast I edit. It is called Monster Care Squad. It is in some ways kind of the opposite of Monster of the Week, in that, yes, as the title suggests, you are all doctors who are very good at treating monsters. It's got a sort of a Studio Ghibli vibe. So like like people and cats, monsters and people live side by side in this world of Aldamora, as it is called. And occasionally monsters get sick with a disease that is called the false gold, because it kind of looks like gold, and it makes them go on a rampage, and sometimes people get hurt. And it is up to the brave folks of the Monster Care Squad to help those monsters not be sick. The game kind of plays a little bit like a Powered by the Apocalypse, but there are definitely some other elements that get worked in. Like, I'm familiar with the concept of clocks from Forged in the Dark games, and there's actually, for the first, second, and third like phase of the game, those have all got clocks that you fill up as you roll stuff and do good. And when you're actually finally treating the monster and trying to help them calm down, there is a whole separate mechanic about control that we will talk about when we actually do it.
I'm sorry. You're so, cutting the background.
I know. I might be re-recording some bits of my lines at least. To have considerably less cat. He's so needy. I think it's because Perry went in the bedroom. And he doesn't like things being on the other side of closed doors.
Yeah, ours don't like that either.
All right. So we can dive back in. The three of you are sitting on a train on your way to Whalecrest. The previous stop has just let almost everybody off the train, and it is basically the three of you and one other person on this car. Why don't you go around the room and introduce yourselves? We can go backwards. We'll start with Eric.
Okay. So my character is named Cleary, with pronouns he and him. His specialties I put as Cleary always lands on his feet, and he can make bandages out of anything that is nearby, no matter how absurd it might seem.
I love that.
For his equipment, he has a data pad that scans books. Basically, it's just a database of medical journals and papers that he has come across that he can search with keywords. However, those keywords are not always reliable. Like, he has to pretty much know what he's looking for, otherwise he can pop up, you know, 100, 200 different papers on this one subject.
Okay.
And then for his trainings and background, I have, for Force, a past trauma EMT. Generally, you know, getting monsters on gurneys, like taking control, acting in the moment of strength as needed. For his find skill, he has suturing. For his grit, he has resuscitation. For his acuity, he has medical history. Going back to that data pad of books, he is a big fan of past medical research. So think plague doctors, leeches, all the way up to, depending on kind of where this time frame and world fall, it could be, you know, modern advances that he considers historical at this point. And then for his allure, he has bedside manner.
Cool. Sounds like a well-rounded dude. What's he been doing for the train ride so far? Just reading the data pad?
Absolutely. I think that he has probably looked around, like, you know how when you're on an airplane you have the little magazines and catalogs in the back of the seat? I think he started thumbing through that and just got bored by it, so he just put it back and started reading one of his old medical papers that he is a fan of.
Excellent. How about Susanna?
All right, my character is Alana Fernsby. She is a short young girl. She is probably about 18 or 19. She was a kind of a medical prodigy, you know, one of those like knew everything there was to know about like a specific thing and then was pretty smart about other stuff, but she went to college when she was quite young and graduated pretty early, so she's very young and still a little inexperienced about the whole people thing, because school has been everything for her. And her two things are: she can brew a potent attraction potion, meaning it pulls things toward it, not that it makes things like you, and is an expert on all things fungi. She carries a staff with some magical distraction mushrooms on top of it that also lights up and provides the way in dark places.
Excellent.
I was going to do her training background if you wanted to.
Oh, yeah, go for it.
Okay. They kind of said when they said, like, training and background, they were kind of saying, like, it's like classes that you took when you were in college or, like, something like that to, like, get your medical whatever. And so I kind of came up with some names for the classes for the different ones. So my force one is dragon wrangling, which she audited and didn't actually take. Fun with fungi, potions and more is my fine. My grit, I put that she is an avid hiker because she's got to go find that fungi. And then for acuity, I have the practical polyp, removal and reuse. And then she, for allure, I have haggling for dummies that she read.
Excellent. And I think you also have a companion with you, if I
remember
your character sheet. I do.
Yeah, okay.
Read.
So I have a... She is followed around by and occasionally rides a mushroom donkey. So it's like a donkey that kind of has like mushrooms growing off on it in various places. It's probably alive. She doesn't really care one way or the other. It's very nice, though.
I love him.
Yeah, does he have a name?
Oh, goodness. Come back to me in a few minutes.
Okay.
I forgot to name the donkey.
This is the most important part of character development.
I know.
Jory. Oh, what has Alana been doing while she's been on the train?
Yeah, she's probably just like she's probably also reading. She has a satchel that she carries around that is just full of like not only mushrooms, like little ones and little like plastic baggies and stuff, but also like books about mushrooms because she's real into them shrooms. And so she's probably been reading that. And I am going to name I'm going to name him Button, because there's such
Button.
A thing as a button mushroom. So he is named Button.
Button the donkey.
Button the donkey.
I love him. All right. And how about Jory?
Yeah. I'm playing Dr. Yakov Frank. He/him pronouns. He is I kind of took inspiration because you were saying something about, having a bit of a steampunky setting. So I thought to have somebody who like kind of would fit in like the historic era of medicine, which is like all those people who are just doing whatever they can to have anything named after themselves. So my specialties are he's a bit of an inventor and a tinker. And with that, he invented a magical surgery to non-invasively excise blockages in tumors. He's very excited about it. He just came up with it. He has achieved that goal in that way. For equipment, he has some magical tinkering tools. And his trainings and background. For force, I said he took a couple BJJ classes. I don't know. For fine, I put in that Franken method. For grit, I said he has a lot of endurance for like a long surgery. He can do like a 15-20 hour surgery, as doctors are sometimes want to do. Acuity, yep. I wrote tinker, and for allure, I said diplomatic.
Okay, sounds good. All right, and what were you doing for the long train ride? It's been like a few hours.
Yeah,
at least.
He's a bit of a blowhard, so I'm probably annoying these two by talking myself up to anybody in the train who can hear it now that it's just us. It's just my teammates who know me very well and are trying to read their respective books.
Excellent.
I think as you're talking yourself up, Cleary is just scrolling, like, types your name into his data pad and just holds it up, being like, yeah, no, it's just the one for you.
Oh.
Just the one. Well, just the one so far. I'm a young doctor at the beginning of my career. Who else has that much under their belt at the age of 40?
He just types in a little bit more, holds up a list.
I look at the list and I go, oh, hey, look, there's my mushroom paper. I wrote it when I was 17.
As you're all kind of having this conversation, the other person on the car gets up. You can see she's a woman in her 50s. She's sea-worn but hale and wearing sort of the uniform that you all associate with sea captains, whatever that happens to look like for you at the moment. And just sort of wanders up and without really even introducing herself or anything in that way that, you know, sometimes older, respected people in the community do, where they talk without letting you get a word in edgewise. She asks if you've heard the story of how Whale Crest got its name.
No, but that sounds interesting.
No, can't say that I have.
I assume it has something to do with the whale that crested the peak of the mountain. Wow, wild. Nope.
And basically, sort of almost without listening to anything you said in response, she just says, it's said that before there was a bay, there was a mountain, and a great whale came and carved the bay out of the living rock and fashioned for itself a helmet from the leftover stone. The work made the beastie hungry, so it climbed up on the land and ate a whole grove of banana trees. And then it turned around and horked those bananas up into the water, which brought fish and lemurians to the bay. So the beast returned to the ocean and has never been seen since.
I wasn't so far off.
Why would a whale need a helmet?
Lemurians.
She sort of manages to monopolize the rest of the conversation in the way that older folks can. Like, even if you ignore her, she continues to kind of talk about, you know, fish that she's caught and stuff. And lemurians are a type of monster that you would recognize that I described and then put in my notes at the bottom. So I forgot what they look like. Mm-hmm. They're kind of like, that's right, they're seals, but they've got like little narwhal horns. So you've definitely heard of them before. They're not like an uncommon monster. There are a lot of them around. And the train pulls into the station. She tips her hat and disembarks before you even get your stuff up. She has nothing on her and kind of vanishes onto the platform. And then as soon as you jump out, like hop out onto the platform, somebody approaches you, woman in a nice suit with a shiny pocket watch on a chain. Says, ah, you must be the Monster Care Squad. I'm Mayor Fetlock. You can call me Chen.
Hi, Chen.
Pleasure to meet you.
It's lovely to meet you as well. I didn't, you know, she exchanges names with you all as well.
Yes.
We just did character intros. It feels like a waste of time to do it again. and then almost as if in response to your arrival, you feel the earth start to move beneath your feet. It feels a little bit like you're dizzy. But you hear sort of a rumbling all through town, and everything around you starts shaking.
Ooh.
And Chen kind of looks at you and says, well, welcome to Whale Crest. I hope you can help us with that. Dr. Homestead called ahead and said you'd be on your way. He asked us to set you up with whatever you might need, so please, follow me. I get to make the first roll of the game, which is unusual. So the mentor gets a couple of moves in the same way that you've all got moves.
Mm-hmm.
He has a move called Red Carpet Treatment, in which he rolls with Fine. I roll with Fine. And on, depending on how that plays out, you get extra amenities that you can use to solve the case.
Exciting.
He is not very good at Fine, and he rolled a 4.
Oh.
So, your safe haven is going to be haunted, infested, or targeted.
Oh, no.
Oh, wonderful.
That's not a very safe haven.
I'm gonna go with, infested. It's in shabby disrepair, and it is infested. And she kind of takes you to this, walks you over to the hotel in the middle of town. And sets you up in, like, it's a pretty nice suite, but the materials and the stuff in the main room is just, like, it's very old, kind of rusty medical equipment. It's mostly incomplete, like, first aid kits, and it seems that they've brought in some, like, bugs from the wharfs, as this is a fishing town, with them. So it is not the best place to be working. She's sort of like, sorry, we didn't have much medical equipment that we could get you, but we tried to set you up with whatever we had.
I am super excited about it because there's gotta be some good funguses in here.
There is almost certainly some funguses, some fungi on some of the crates and things that are kind of in the corner. You can smell the sea breeze coming in through the window, but then there's also a sort of more fishy smell coming out of some of the equipment.
All right.
She says, if there's anything that you need, feel free to let the concierges downstairs, Mizuki and Zenaida are their names. Feel free to let either of them know if there's anything you can get. Is there anything, do you have any questions about anything before I return to Town Hall?
Just one quick question. The whole earthquake thing that's happening, why do you believe that it's a monster and not just, you know, normal island seismic activity?
That's a very good question. Thus far, Whalecrest has been pretty tectonically stable for as long as recorded history, at least recorded history of the town. So this is unusual. It only started about maybe 3 months ago, and it's gotten intense and more frequent over the last few weeks.
Yeah, that doesn't sound so much like...
Is there anything that has changed, that changed 3 months ago, of note that we should be aware of, besides the... rattling?
I'm sure that if you spoke to some of the fishermen in town, they might tell you that the fishing is declining. That seems to be an ongoing problem. I'm not sure whether the two are connected, but there are fewer fish to catch, and the fishing industry is going a little downhill, unfortunately. No, I think that's about the only thing I can think of. Did anybody else have a question? Somebody else?
You answered my question.
She says, so definitely check out the Rusted Bucket. It is across the street from the hotel. That's where most folks from the town, it's where a lot of the fishermen hang out. And, you know, if you happen to go, there's a beach. It's sort of through a tunnel on sort of the outskirts of town. We're trying to set up a beach area. I think one of the earthquakes flattened the pizza stand that's out there. So unfortunately, there are no pizza stands out there. But definitely go check it out. It's an up-and-coming tourist area.
Well, you have to get that pizza stand fixed. You can't go to the beach without a pizza stand, is my understanding. Not being from close to the ocean.
I'm working on it. It costs money to repair, and we haven't really had a lot of tourist activity lately. I mean, ever. I will say the impression you're getting about the beach area is that basically nobody goes there, and she's trying to encourage you to go there.
Have you been getting more tourists lately?
I think we had one about a month ago.
Oh, okay.
Back when there was a pizza stand.
Is your area known for any particular type of monster? We heard about the seal ones, right?
Yeah, the Lemurians are pretty famous around here. They're common in most coastal areas, but no, I think those are the big ones. There are probably some little insecty type ones, unfortunately, coming in from the docks in most people's houses, but I doubt they can do any earthquakey type damage.
Okay. I get distracted looking for mold.
Well, Mayor, was it Chen? Jen?
Yeah, Chen Fetlock. Chen.
Well, Mayor Chen, you have the right people on the case. We will go to the Rusted Bucket and we will figure all this out in a jiff. Don't worry about it.
Oh, I certainly hope so. Thank you very much. I appreciate that you all came here. I hope that, I've already called ahead and said you should probably have, food waiting for you at the bucket. If there's anything else you need, as I said, you can find me at Town Hall, or you can ask either of the concierge. They know they can come and speak to me whenever they need it.
Ooh, I think this is some Rhizopus.
She kind of looks at you like, yes, and then excuses herself and leaves.
Sorry, I found a I found a mold.
Disgusting. Let's go get some dinner.
Okay.
So you head on down, and across the street from the hotel, as advertised, there is a... It's definitely, like, a pub. You can tell from, like, the windows and the chatter inside. There is no actual signage, but there is, like, a ancient bucket that is just hanging over the door with holes through it. Like, it definitely leaks when it is raining. That is the kind of signage we're looking at here. And inside, you can smell frying food and stale beer wafting up from the carpet. It's a dimly lit room. It's definitely like dive bar by sort of our modern sensibilities. Lively but not crowded, and a lot of people wearing sort of fishing coveralls with woolen caps sitting on the tables next to them. A few of them look up as you enter, but nobody really reacts to your presence at all.
All right.
And there is a bartender at behind the bar, probably late 20s. And then there is also, you do kind of notice, sitting in one corner, there is the woman from the train that you spoke to, the sea captain.
I'm going to go sit next to her.
I think that Cleary would go and sit with the sea captain.
Okay. And how about the other two?
Yeah, I'm going to go sit next to her.
I was told there is food. I'm going to go demand the dinner I was promised.
All right. So let's start with... Let's start with Dr. Yakov Franken.
Yes.
Talking to the bartender. They introduce themselves as Asad Zara. And they say, are you in from out of town?
Well, Asad, we came here to solve your earthquake problem. Me and my colleagues are some of the finest doctors in all of, I forget what the larger thing of this game is called,
Aldemura.
Aldemura. We are some of the finest doctors in Aldemura. Now tell me, Asad, what is the best thing you have to eat here? What is your local specialty?
Fish and chips. That's pretty much the main thing on the menu. Although we do have a vegetarian option. It is fried mushroom and chips.
You know, I could use some fish. I think I'm all mushroomed out already on this one.
That's fair. I will put that back and get you a drink while we're here.
Yeah.
We have beer and wine. The wine comes in two colors.
I'd like color two of the wine, please.
Excellent.
So... What is it? Have you noticed in the past few months anything with the earthquakes? Has there been any uptick in monster activity at all?
Can't say that I've noticed an uptick in monster activity, no. We did have a meeting about it the other day, a town meeting, talking about it. There was a vote on whether to, you must be the Monster Care Squad. I think we voted on whether to bring you here, so I guess that went through. But no, like, I can't really think of anything. Just the earthquakes flattened the crappy little pizza stand on the crappy little beach over there.
How odd. So why did you vote for the... I mean, we asked already the mayor, but perhaps you have another answer. Why did you vote for the for us to come here if you don't see a monster cause to your problem?
Well, nobody else can come up with an explanation. I mean, nobody's heard about any earthquakes as far as anybody can remember. Captain in the back there, Captain Giaconde, she's never heard of anything like it. She's been around probably longest. Keeps telling people that story about the old, you know, whale thing. I don't know if that's relevant.
Oh, I was going to say, I don't have any more questions, so I'm going to enjoy my dinner.
He brings you a color of wine and a basket of fish and chips. Do you join the other two, or
stay at the bar? Oh, yeah, I'll head over with only food for myself.
That's fair. There is, like, a bar server person has come over and taken the orders from the other two. And yeah, you are sitting next to the captain.
So I think as we sit here, I'm gonna reintroduce myself and to the captain and say, "Hi, did you have a good trip back?"
Yes, I was on the train with you lot.
Well, yeah, but I was reading, so I wasn't really, you know. Anyways, what can you tell me about this whale?
It's the reason I believe that the fish in the Lemurians came. Well, that's what they say, at least. Some say that the whale went into the ocean and has been sleeping ever since. There aren't really a lot of stories.
Where around here do you think we could find something that big?
The ocean, probably.
Yeah, I suppose.
If it's anywhere.
Have you guys been getting any, like, earthquakes, but like tidal waves or something like that?
I think they usually come with the earthquakes. I mean, some of the ships, they wash ashore, and then we have to send some people out to the beach and then pull them back in, and yeah. Occasionally?
So, Captain, and you seem to really love this story about the whale and everything. In any of the stories that you've come across, did the whale have a name, or have any of the stories said maybe what kind of whale it's been?
I admit, I heard this from my, like, grandfather. I don't think he knew the name of it. He was also a sea captain. I don't know if there was a name. She thinks for like a long while. An awkwardly long while.
And your grandfather is around, or...?
Oh, no, the sea took him, probably 10, 20 years back.
Do you know any really old sea captains we could talk to?
I'm the old sea captain around here.
Okay.
The oldest sea captain. You already found her.
She does, after a minute, come back and go, "I think it was called... I think I heard once somebody else told the story and called it a crested seton."
So I think Cleary, once he finally has something to search for, he's going to type that into his datapad just to see if anything at all pops up.
Okay, I think that sounds like a move that needs a roll. I would say that's probably a pull a thread roll.
Okay, that is a lure. I'm just rolling a d4 right now.
No, it is 2d6 plus the allure, plus your allure.
Alright, and that is a 9.
Okay, 7 and 9, you pick one out of the questions, which I can read off in a second, but your information is going to be flawed and something nasty will await you when you arrive.
Okay.
The questions are, well, not questions, the statements. You know where the monster was last seen. You know where to find a monster or survivor of the monster's last attack. You know the site of the monster's most recent rampage, and you know where the monster used to nest before it went berserk.
Ooh, I mean, she already kind of said that the monster would just be in the ocean. So I'm going to say that I know where the monster was last seen.
Okay. While you are talking to the captain, somebody kind of like approaches you and kind of tugs on your sleeve when the conversation drifts away for a moment, and it is a man who introduces himself as the quartermaster for Captain Jaconda's ship, and he says, "I think I've actually seen the monster before."
You have?
I think so. I think I've seen it come up on land over by the beach.
On land?
This was just after the second quake. I was out for a walk late at night with my partner, and we saw it come up out over the land. Tried to eat a couple of the trees there.
It's a land whale?
So this whale had feet and legs, or was it just kind of acting like a seal, just wriggling along the beach?
I didn't get a very good look, I'll admit. It was large. I would say probably more feet than seal.
Okay. And was that, did that happen to be that beach that the pizza stand had gotten flattened?
Yes. Okay. That is the only beach in town.
Gotcha.
And as we're going, I'm also filling up a clock. I'm going to give you a tick on the clock for figuring out the name and another one for figuring out where it went or where it was last. So this is your sort of in the investigation phase, what's called the diagnosis phase of the game. And as you fill up the clock, you're going to figure out what's wrong with it and what's going on. And I made that the 8-step clock because I figured it would be interesting to kind of look around. And then the other two sessions are going to be, or phases are going to be shorter clocks for those playing along at home.
So it sounds like we have something to go look at, or at least look into, see if we can get something more about what this thing is and maybe find. And then I actually turn around to the captain and I say,
yeah,
would you be willing to maybe take us out to go monster hunting in the ocean?
Probably might be able to, yeah. I think let's roll a make a deal.
Okay.
Oh, when you promise to help someone solve a problem in exchange for information about the monster, hold yeah. one. When you succeed, spend the hold on some options.
That's not a roll.
So I think... yeah, that isn't a role. It's just making a deal.
What does she want from me?
Let's see. She kind of looks at you and goes, I hear you work for Dr. Homestead.
Yes.
If you can get me his autograph, I'll take out.
All right. Okay. Yeah. Hang on. Just a second. And I'm going to like dig in my... in like my big satchel full of stuff and see if I can find like something he signed off on, you know?
Okay.
Like some piece of like medical, like here's a report for something.
All right. You've got, isn't it like five things in that bag?
Let me see. Yeah, so...
it's, yeah, like 5 prep or something, and then you can spend a prep to have the thing you need.
Yeah, so I have a move called Pack Rat. So I'm always prepared, yes. Or at least always saddled with the backpack. Begin every session with 5 prep. Whenever your team needs something important, spend 1 prep to pull it out of the bag. Your prep restores when you cure a monster or return to a comfortable, well-stocked safe house.
All right. Yeah, spend a prep and do that.
Okay.
You have successfully... given somebody something in exchange for information or, in this case, a favor for the monster, so you can spend your hold on marking a clock segment as successful, gaining a session ace, which is something you can use to bolster a roll, or you can get +1 supply.
Okay, real quick, out of game, what do the aces do? I really couldn't figure it out from reading the thing.
So basically, anytime you use an ace, you can roll a d4, and add that to your roll to make it better.
Oh, okay.
So a session ace or a character ace. Character ace is basically you use your special equipment and basically add a d4 to your roll. And session ace is you use something that you've earned over the course of the game, add a d4 to your roll. And then the critical ace is instead of a d4, you can roll a d8 and add that to your roll.
Okay, I think I'd like to mark a clock segment as successful.
Okay. So you are at 3 clock segments.
Cool.
And you have also, during this whole time, been eating dinner in case anybody is concerned about yes. not getting enough food.
I ordered some roasted portobello mushrooms.
Excellent. Those have arrived. Is Alana old enough to drink?
No. Well, it depends on what this world would be, but not in... she's 19, I think.
Okay.
So I don't know where this world is. She isn't in the US, but I don't know like if this world lets you drink earlier, but she probably wouldn't want to unless it's okay. Like somehow mushroom flavored.
She's
I don't
old enough to drink here.
She's much of a drinker in general.
Oh, the idea of mushroom juice sounds disgusting.
Fermented mushroom juice.
Yeah, man.
Woof. Yeah, so we'll have to ask them to make sure that they include the drinking age in the final book.
Yeah.
All right. So yeah, you've finished your dinner. You've done a favor for the one person. Did anybody else want to do anything while you were in the pub?
I think that Cleary is just going to scarf his food really quickly.
Yeah.
Like, no manners at all with it. He's just ready to eat it. Eating for him is just a thing that needs to be done. Not that he enjoys.
I enjoy that is mushrooms.
Fair. All right. Where to next?
So my recommendation was that we go down to the beach to, like, look at the where it was last seen and see if we see anything interesting down there.
I second that.
Yeah.
All right. So, yeah, you head on out. It is... there's sort of a tunnel. There's like a very narrow hill that kind of blocks off the vision from the town. So you can't actually see the beach from where you are in town, but you go through. It's not a super long tunnel, accessible by foot or by vehicle. You kind of wander through, and on the other side you do find this beach. It is pretty wide and large, kind of rocky, and you're seeing a lot of like large glassy rocks that kind of litter the edge of the beach. These glassy rocks are kind of forming in piles. It's a little bit unusual. You do see the small pizza place. It's kind of near the tunnel entrance, and it definitely looks just flat. What do you want to check out first?
I think the glassy rocks probably hold my attention more than anything else.
Okay. Let's go take a look at some rocks.
All right. I think I immediately just kind of like kneel down next to them and just start like picking them up, like being careful not to like cut myself or anything. Just, what are these things?
They are pretty sharp. They are black and shiny. Like a very shiny material.
Yeah.
And it does kind of look as you're kind of picking them up and like fiddling with them, that like they were one large piece that kind of got crushed into smaller pieces, smaller chunks.
Do they look like obsidian or something like that?
It looks like obsidian, yes.
Okay. Interesting.
I'm going to say, why don't we go for a acuity roll.
Okay.
This is the 2d6 plus your acuity.
Yep. I got a 9.
Okay, so on a 9, you're definitely aware like something like this could come from a monster, if they were infected with the false gold. I think you don't exactly remember what symptom would cause it, but you have definitely heard of like something like magma coming from monsters, and then of course if it hits the water, you kind of figure out that that's where this came from.
Interesting. Okay.
I took treasured insight as a move.
Okay.
Which means when someone from your team is on the verge of a breakthrough, I guess I don't have relevant training and background, so maybe not.
I mean, it is definitely a symptom.
Yeah, I guess I'm trying, I'm changing my, because my background is more on like, it's less on diagnoses and more on, so never mind.
Okay.
What else is in this area besides the obsidian?
You definitely notice, yeah, the flattened pizza stand, and a little up the hill you do see like a grove of banana trees.
Okay. Can I go check out the trees?
Yeah. You can also make an acuity roll.
2d6?
Yep.
Those sound like heavy dice.
That was a 6.
Okay. I will give you it looks like there were more trees at one point, but some of them have gone. And it's a little dark out, so you can't really see what happened to some of them, the stumps, but there are stumps.
Okay. So something, or somehow trees have been recently
removed.
Flattened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. And how about Cleary? Have you got anything you want to look into?
I think with the finding of the obsidian, I would start typing in, trying to find something in my datapad for past medical diagnoses that had to do with magma.
Okay. Let's see. Trying to figure out if there's a move for that. I mean, that does a bit sound like the Treasured Insight move. Yeah, I think roll plus, I think that's, is that also acuity? Yeah, I think acuity as well.
Okay. Yeah, he's going back on his medical history, so that would make sense.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, jeez. That is a 5.
I think because you are using your signature thing, you can use your use that as an ace.
Okay.
So roll a d4 and add that to it if you would like.
Absolutely. That bumps it up to 7.
Okay. So this gives the next person who, rather than using this move, I'll just have it be like a straight lookup.
Okay.
And you do look up one of the symptoms that you are aware of that sometimes monsters can get is called magma tears, in which their tear ducts start to produce magma. And that seems the most likely candidate for creating these sort of droplet-shaped things that have been crushed on the ground and turned into obsidian. And that is one symptom, so I'm going to mark a clock segment too.
Did we say how big these obsidian were? Like, how big the rocks were?
Oh, I think the piles are sort of, I'd say around 2 feet wide.
This is a big boy.
Yeah.
So, were the trees, were they cut or like did, was it like a clean cut or was it like a rip?
I think Dr. Franken couldn't get a very good look at it because it's too dark to really make that call.
Okay. Could I go over there with my light up mushroom and look at it?
Yeah.
Okay. I light my mushroom up if it's dark outside.
Right. I would say, yeah, go for, yeah, I think it's going to be acute again.
Okay, I got a 7.
Okay. Yeah, I think you notice that the trees appear to have been burned.
Burned. Okay.
Well, that would be consistent with the magma, right?
It definitely could be.
Okay, lava tears, yeah. Do they look like they've been burned in, like, splashes, or more like fire? Like,
this looks a little bit more...
Are there any magma tears over here is what I'm asking, I guess.
Not really. There are a few kind of leading up, but once in the trees, there aren't really as many.
Okay. I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to, like, call over... Derek, what's your character's name?
Cleary.
Yeah. I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to call over Cleary and say, hey, there's not, like, the magma tears over here. I wonder if there was some sort of, like, fire breath or something. Could you maybe look up in your book and see if that's a thing?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. That would be, I think, another acuity roll.
Much better. That is going to be an 11.
Oh, wow. Yeah, you've definitely figured that out as well. You've also heard some reports of monsters just bursting into flame and sometimes just shooting flames out of their mouths, breathing fire. And that seems consistent with these burn patterns that you're seeing.
Interesting. So it might not just be magma tears, it could just be just really bad indigestion that's coming out of every spot, I guess.
Yeah, poor thing. He sounds like he's got a really tough, or she, I suppose. Sounds like they've got a pretty tough tough time of it. Let's go look at that shed, the pizza place. Let's go look at that. So Does it does it look like it was knocked over, or does it look like it was flattened? Like with pressure on top of it?
Now that you're kind of piecing things together, it's kind of looking like it was crushed by the creature as it left.
Okay, yeah. I think I'm just going to kind of dig
it
around.
It has even kind of...
What?
Yeah. Can we... I was going to say, it's kind of toppled in the direction of the ocean, so it kind of looks like as the creature turned around, it crushed the thing.
Okay. I think I'm just going to, like, dig around in kind of the rubble and see if there's any other, like, fluids or interesting things we can test that it might have been cut by when it crushed this thing.
Were you about to say something, Jory?
I was just going to ask what direction we think it went into, but you said the ocean.
Yes. Yeah, I'm going to say make a... Because, like, some of the pieces are pretty big and you can kind of spot something underneath, so... Why doesn't somebody make a force roll to kind of lift some of the pieces of the shed up?
Is anyone strong?
I have bad force.
I am a past EMT, so I'm not strong, but I'm not weak either. Which is a nice way of saying I have a plus zero.
I think you might be the best. I have a negative one. Oh, okay. I'm glad none of us chose to be strong.
I was trying to say that I was going to dig around, so I can do it if you want to.
Okay.
7.
All right. After a few, like, it takes you a few minutes to, like, move a piece, and you do get, like, you can see, but you can't actually retrieve something that's kind of a crystal. It's definitely not the same thing as the obsidian. It's more sort of angular and less crushed. And it's kind of a blood red you can see in the light of your staff.
Are the other two taller than me?
I would think
I'm
so.
Like 5'2", probably.
Oh, yeah. Then definitely.
Yeah. Okay. I'm like an average-heighted middle-aged man.
Yeah. I think I'm going to turn to the other guys and just go like, hey, what do you guys think you could reach that thing down there? I can't quite. I'm got, you know, little arms, and I do like the T-Rex motion.
Sure. I'm going to very confidently try and grab it. Having All been right. asked for help and not being very helpful so far.
Why don't I say that's I'm going to call that a fine roll just for fun.
Okay. Ten.
Alright, yeah. You managed to retrieve it. It's fairly large, but it's definitely, like, you can carry it. It's probably, I don't know, about the size of a large cat, I say, because there's a cat nearby. And it is definitely, like, a crystal of some sort. It is a blood red, kind of glinting in the light. It is mostly transparent.
Can I recognize what kind of crystal it is?
That would be another roll. That would be a another acuity roll.
That's just a 6.
You've seen it before.
I'm gonna ask, Cleary, do you recognize this? Can you use your thingy?
I would say yes, but just so we don't abuse it, I'm gonna say the battery is now dead on it.
Okay. Good point.
Yeah.
Very helpful.
So he goes to type it in, and as soon as he hits search, the data pad just powers down.
Aww.
Oops.
I'm gonna knock on it and then try and put it against my ear in case I can hear the ocean.
Oh, the crystal. I thought you meant the data pad for a second.
So did I.
No, the crystal. Either way, I'm sure just as useful.
You can sort of hear the ocean.
Is it because I'm next to it?
Yeah, pretty much.
Can I see it?
Yeah.
Of course, I hand it over.
So I'm going to kind of look at it, and I am an avid hiker, so I've been around a lot of rocks and gems and stuff. It's not my specialty, but could I maybe do, like, an acuity based off of that?
Yeah, and I think that also, because it's... Oh, no, is it your background, or is it... No, I think it's your funky move thing.
It's my background.
Yeah. I think the session, the other character ace is your one of your background thingies, or one of your specialty thingies.
I'm not sure. I didn't think I took a session ace.
I think your specialty equipment is one, and then I'm trying to remember what the other one is. Okay, so you can actually use a training or background as a specialty ace.
Oh, really? Okay, I'll do that if I need it, I guess.
A character ace. Yeah. I'm just...
Okay, I rolled a straight 11, so...
All right. Yeah, you've encountered these before, like when you've been on hikes in areas where monsters have been on a rampage.
Okay.
And, like, I'm thinking maybe you got back to the office at one point and, like, brought a sample with you and kind of showed it to Dr. Homestead, who was like, yeah, that would be a pulsating blood crystal that is something that does sometimes form on ill monsters when they have been injured.
Ugh. What does it do?
It pulsates, and it will sometimes, if the monster is being threatened and, like, their blood pressure goes up, they can actually shoot the blood crystals out in a sort of crystal rain.
Ah.
That is extremely dangerous if you are trying to help the monster.
Wonderful. Yeah, I relay that to the others. Definitely seen these before.
Hmm. Perhaps we need some protection when we finally find the beast.
Certainly couldn't hurt.
Yeah, maybe like a fire suit or something.
Love a fire suit.
And like a helmet, probably.
As we're still on the beach, I know that you had mentioned that we could see like some of the tears leading up. Mm-hmm. And that obviously it went back to the ocean with how it had flattened the Pizza Hut. But are there any are there any footsteps to go along with this?
I think yeah. Now that you're noticing, like some of the impressions on the beach, definitely look like they've been sort of sand swept because it's been a little while since anybody was out here. But there are definitely like craters on the beach in the sand that kind of look roughly like really large footprints.
So it does have feet.
In sort of a trail that goes to and from the water.
Okay.
Is there anything we could do? Could I do a roll to see if I recognize the monster by the print?
I'm trying to decide, because there's a move about making a hypothesis about the monster's condition, so I was trying to decide if that would work. Mm-hmm. I would say probably just, yeah, the analytical thinking is under acuity, so probably that.
Okay.
So yeah, I think you've encountered, I think, creatures. You've heard about a creature like it before, but it was considerably smaller, and it was just called a seton. And they are sort of legged whales. Mm-hmm. Seton, C-E-T-A-N, yeah.
Mm-hmm. C-E-T-A-N. That's what I did. This looks like a... How much bigger than a regular seton is this?
Like this is, you know, like is about the size of like a 3 or 4 story building. And they're usually like maybe 10 feet tall.
Ooh, that's big.
An overgrown seton is what this is looking like, I say confidently.
What do you know about them?
I know they are like the old sea captain said, a legged whale. Do I know anything about their behavior?
You know that they spend most of their time in the ocean. With a 10, yeah, you definitely know that.
So they tend not to come back up on land unless they really have to. Is that a fair way of describing it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's correct.
That's what I'll say.
Well, then, I mean, it stands to reason that it's coming up for food, then, with all the fishing kind of slowing down.
Well, perhaps it's the thing itself that's depleting the fish resources.
Do you know if they're like the hairy mouth whales or the chompy chompy ones?
chompy chompy of the two.
I think I think Cleary just stands there blinking.
Just like, don't you know, Cleary, the two main categorizations of whales?
Apparently I missed that class.
Whale types 101. It was
chompy,
a full
semester. Chompy, and hair mouth. I like it. I think science should start calling them that.
Okay. Yeah, so that's, so big teeth, that's wonderful.
Giant teeth.
So.
Teeth the size of you, my dear.
Well, that's not hard, to be fair. All right. What do you guys say we go buy some fire retardant suits?
I like that. I also want to take a sample from the ocean. Just in case there's something I can get from, like, I don't know, the acidity or something of the water that might be useful info.
That's a good idea.
Okay. You do that.
And then I think I'm just going to gather a bunch of bananas just because if at some point later we need to bait this thing into any sort of trap, then I think that'll help us.
All right.
As soon as you start gathering you bananas, I'm just like, that. Ooh, snacks!
Do I know if Setons normally eat bananas? If they,
it's not a thing that they are familiar, like that they usually go for. But you do know that Lemurians actually really love them when they can get them.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe we can bait.
But they are not known for. They're not known for going on the land very often, or like that far upland.
Mm. So, it's weird for either creature to be even like a few hundred meters out offshore.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool.
Interesting.
Yeah. I think if anybody wants, you can also, you can make the here's what I got roll and try and put together a hypothesis.
What is that roll with?
That is roll with acuity. On a 10 plus, you get to pick two things from the list.
Yeah, I'll do that.
All right.
Nice. I rolled a straight 12.
Oh, nice. All right. So you can mark a clock segment as successful, gain a session ace, learn where the monster is headed next, or learn the name and effects of one wound. But we've kind of already done all those.
Yeah. I would like to...
Although the effects might be useful.
Yeah, I would like to gain a session ace and know where the monster is headed next.
Okay. So what's the hypothesis that you are putting forward, based on the evidence you have found?
About the monster's condition. Okay, yeah. So I'm thinking this is some kind of, like, fire infection somehow, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that's my idea, is it's some kind of, like, fire infection in this poor water creature. So that's my idea, yes. Of like what it is based on, like, obviously it's like the false gold is like the end goal. That's like the real poison that's causing the problem. But like specifically, mm-hmm. I think it's like some kind of like infection that causes like fire in a water creature.
Yes. All right. That seems like a plausible hypothesis. And based on everything you've pieced together, you know that the monster is probably going to come up, I would say tomorrow night.
On here?
You've kind of like... You're thinking that's kind of what the signs are pointing to based on the patterns of the earthquakes and all of that jazz.
Okay.
So then we have, like, a day to prepare the next, like, an antidote and probably also protection for ourselves.
Yeah.
Really?
Okay.
All right. What else? What do you want to do next?
Well, how late is it?
It is going on for, like, 10 or 11 o'clock.
Yeah, we should probably honestly just go home. Like, go to where our sleeping quarters is going to be, because, like, I don't, anything is going to be up this late, you know?
Yeah, we could always get supplies.
Yeah.
Yep, sounds about right.
Could I overnight, like, with my tinker skill, spend some time manufacturing, just like kind of testing equipment to see if I can get just a little bit more info about what like the properties of the illness by testing what we've gotten, so the stone and the crystal, which presumably came from the animal.
Roll fine. I think that's a fine skill.
Okay. That's a 10.
Perfect. Yeah, you managed to piece together. You can definitely confirm that there is a false gold infection based on sort of the water sample and the stone sample. And you've definitely also confirmed the sort of fire element in water creature hypothesis. There's definitely strong evidence for that.
Mm-hmm. I was hoping idea on what materials we'll need to gather based off of the testing.
Okay. If it is something fire based, you are going to need something that will kind of cool it off.
Cool.
And for the sort of next stage, which I think we can take a break in a minute and do that. Basically, anything you pitch that, you know, you roll well enough for is going to probably work.
Okay.
So, anything else that anybody wants to do before you go to bed?
I'm probably going to look for some more mold, but other than that.
All right.
No, I think I'm good.
I'm also going to feed my donkey.
Does he eat mushrooms or does he just like other stuff?
He wants to only eat mushrooms, but I have to give him other things if I just gave him mushrooms, he wouldn't be as healthy. So he has to eat other things.
Okay.
To get a complete diet.
I get it. I understand the donkey.
Thanks for listening from me, Jory, Susanna, and Derek. If you'd like more information about the game, search for Monster Care Squad on Kickstarter, or look up @SandyPugGames on Twitter, Sandy like a beach, Pug like the dog. Sandy Pug also requested, and the TRLT crew wants to remind you that the protests which started last month are still ongoing, and there is still work to be done. If you have the means, consider donating to one of the organizations that is supporting these protesters, such as the National Bail Fund Network, Activist Medical Network, or the Little Nikita Fund. There are links with more information on these organizations, as well as the game and my guests, in the show notes. We'll be back for part 2, and I'll see you in Roulette on Wednesday.